All right, now you guys know me. I like to make up games as I go along. So I made up a little game that we're going to start with tonight. But first of all, how many of you guys were at the Easter sunrise service last week? Okay. And of course, you guys saw me in my nice snazzy suit. And even the guys were like, I'll be honest, he looks pretty good. That's all right. It's okay. Okay, so here's the thing. This game is called Where is Kevin at the Easter Sunrise Service? All right, now, here's the thing. How many of you guys have been on the Calvary website and you've looked through the photos from the Easter Sunrise Service? Okay, you've probably seen a couple of these pictures. But we'll start with an easy one. Put up that first picture. Obviously, there I am in my nice snazzy suit with Emery and my wife. And okay, so that way you have the picture in your mind what you're looking for in these pictures, all right? So we're going to start out hard. So let's go for this first one. Where am I? Now, here's the thing. Don't yell it out, but raise your hand when you found me. Raise your hand when you found me. Raise your hand. Shh, 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 shh. No talking. No talking. Raise your hand when you found me. Okay, good. Now show us where I am. There I am. Okay, now this next one. Let's see the next one. Where is Kevin? Raise your hand if you found me. Raise your hand if you found me. I don't know. This one's pretty hard. So, okay, where am I in that picture? Oh, there I am. Man, that was rough. Okay, now this next one is definitely the hardest, all right? This one you're going to have to really, really look. All right, here we go. Next one. Where am I? Raise your hand if you found me. Anybody? This one's really hard. Oh, wait. There I am. I'm the only thing that's in focus in the whole picture. Did you notice that? Okay, Adam, where am I at? There I am. The funny thing about this picture is I don't know what I'm looking at. Like, there's no way the stage was that high, you know? I'm like, I'm probably thinking like, huh, I wonder if that stage is going to collapse while they're singing. Oh, that's weird. And then there I am like this, and they just focused in on my face and took a picture. Very nice. So you guys played that game very well. As you can tell, my 6'5"-ness makes me stick out, okay? In a crowd, I'm easy to find. Speaking of sticking out, standing out, as Jen mentioned, I was the Cowardly Lion last night at Broomball, costume Broomball. And here's the thing. I stand out already as a 6'5" man. As a 6'5" lion, I definitely stand out, okay? So I was the lion there. You should have seen some of the looks that I got in the car driving, wearing my lion suit on the way to Blades. Jen was like, Kevin, could you please duck down? This is really embarrassing, you know? And all I would do is, like, as people drove by, like, turn and wave at them, you know? Like, I'm a lion in a car. There's nothing weird about that, you know? Come on, right? So I obviously stood out. And speaking of standing out, we're going to finish up tonight the book of Genesis. No, not really. The life of Abraham. The life of Abraham, Genesis chapter 25. Make sure you turn there. So far, we have studied almost half of the book of Genesis, and over half of the time that we've been studying now, this is actually week 26 tonight in the book of Genesis, over half of our time has been spent just on this one man's life, the life of Abraham. We've blasted through big topics like creation, like the entrance of sin into the world, the flood, the Tower of Babel, huge topics that we could have spent years on. We blasted through those. In fact, we covered those in the first 11 chapters. The first 11 chapters covered over 2,000 years in history. And we learned that in 10 weeks. Well, we've covered the life of Abraham now, after tonight, in 13 chapters. All of those other things in only 11. 13 chapters. Those 13 chapters have only been 175 years of his story. And we've learned that in 14 weeks. So you can tell that the emphasis in the book of Genesis is on the life and the times of these people. Now, he starts out with creation and all those things. Here's how it all began. But then he says, look at these people. Here's how you should live. And so you can tell the author of the book of Genesis emphasized living and learning by example. And Abraham was an incredible example of faith, as you guys know that. And tonight we're going to learn three ways that Abraham stood out in a generation that blends in. And I'm going to challenge you guys to do that tonight as well, to stand out in a generation that is consumed with blending in. Now, you guys know that the world we live in just is consumed in that. So let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 25. We'll read our whole text for tonight, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll break it down. There's a bunch of names in here, so bear with me. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. You guys all have brothers named like that, I'm sure. Verse 3, Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Letushim, and Leumim. Verse 4, and the sons of Midian were those guys. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the son of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. Verse 7, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 75 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite. Verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roy. So, as I mentioned, that's the topic for tonight, standing out in a generation that blends in. And as I also mentioned at the beginning tonight, at the end, after we're done with our Bible study, we're going to have a chance for you guys to ask questions, okay? So maybe it's something about the study tonight. Maybe it's something about our previous topic, relationships, that we studied just last chapter. Maybe it's something all the way back towards the beginning of the book. Ask questions about Genesis, but at the end, we'll have about 10 minutes. So if you think of anything, write it down so you don't forget, and I'll do my best to answer those at the end, all right? So first of all, number one, if you're following along on the back of your bulletin, Abraham stood out as a testimony of God's faithfulness. Now, remember, by this point, Abraham is about 175 years old. That is a really, really old man. 175 years old. At the beginning of the chapter, he's probably around 140 or so. And he takes a new wife, Keturah. He begins to have children with her as well. And by the time he dies, he's 175 years old. He's been following God now for over 100 years. That's a long time. More than most of us can even imagine living. But not only has he been alive almost twice that long, but he's been following God. Now, a lot can happen in 100 years. You would agree, I'm sure. In fact, I read some statistics about the year 1900. I found out that in 1900, only 1 in 13 households had a telephone. Now, there are many countries that have more phones than they do people living in them, believe it or not. And in just 100 years, that change has taken place. I also found out that in 1900, worldwide, in 1 year, there were 4,000 automobiles sold. 4,000. You're like, so is that a lot or a little? Well, in the year 2000, about 54 million are sold worldwide. So it's obviously a pretty big difference. And a lot of change can take place. And the world around us is constantly changing. Who knows all of the changes that we weren't even able to read about in the book of Genesis that took place in Abraham's life. But here we are talking about faithfulness, God's faithfulness. And the idea behind faithfulness is that it never changes. Is that as the world around it, as circumstances change, it doesn't. God's faithfulness does not change. And that is the definition of God's promises. Faithful. In fact, I love that song we just sang. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. That is exactly the God that we serve. He doesn't change. You can't stop him. You can't shake him. God is that faithful. And Abraham was a testimony of that. Now, back when Abraham was a young man, about 75 years old, back in his little, you know, young years, God gave him a promise. Chapter 12, verse 2 of Genesis, you guys probably remember it. We've referred back to it quite a few times. Genesis 12, 2, God says, I will make you a great nation. Now, this is a pretty big promise, you guys remember, because Abraham married a woman who couldn't even have kids. How in the world would he be turned into a great nation if he wasn't even physically able to have kids and descendants? That's a problem. Well, that's what God said. And here we are over 100 years later, after his life is over, and God's faithfulness can be seen so clearly through Abraham's life. It's pretty interesting because as we read all those crazy names, those are actually some pretty important things to read and consider because that is a list of some of Abraham's family. Okay? Think about it. We know at this point, by the time Abraham died, that he already has 8 sons. Okay, that's a pretty big family right there. 8 sons. We know about 21 grandsons that he already has by the time he dies, and 3 great-grandsons that he has before he dies. Imagine his wallet filled with all those pictures, you know? Like, hey, here's all my grandkids, you know? And this wallet also, you know? And he has all those pictures, all those kids, and that's just right before he dies, 175 years old. And that is just the beginning of what God is doing. So God's faithfulness is shown very clearly through his life and his descendants. Look at verse 5. And Abraham, it says, gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. Number 2, Abraham stood out as evidence of God's goodness. So a testimony of God's faithfulness and now an evidence of God's goodness. Now today, we count how wealthy somebody is by how much money they have, by if they drive a nice car, if they live in a nice house. In Abraham's day, it was a little different. It was how many servants you had, or how many camels you owned, or how cool your donkeys were, or something like that, all right? Can you imagine living where you were wealthy if you had lots of donkeys? That's kind of crazy. Imagine the lottery, you know? Like, our latest Powerball winner won 36.7 million camels. And, you know, congratulations, Abraham. And Abraham's like, thank you. I'm quitting my job. I'm giving a camel to all my friends. And, you know, I'm just going to donate 10% of my camels to the church. And, you know, it's going to be great. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's not what happened. But in his day, they judged whether you were wealthy or not by if you had a lot of animals and land and servants. Abraham had a lot of all of it. God had blessed him so much, and he was evidence of God's goodness. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Is from above. So anything that's a blessing in our lives, God has given it to us. Now, in Abraham's case, lots of possessions, great family, lots of things, the promised land that he was living in, lots of things that he could have considered as blessings in his life. And as we're talking about here, Abraham is evidence of God's goodness. It's even more clear when you think about, hey, how Abraham started, okay? Think about it. He started with nothing. He started by marrying Sarah, who couldn't have any kids. And now, he has a lot of descendants already before he dies. At the beginning, when we started learning about Abraham, he left everything behind to follow God. Now he has servants, he has animals, he is living in the promised land, the land that God has promised to him that he's going to possess, he and all his descendants. But Abraham, the good thing is he has all this stuff, but he's not selfish about it. Now, I don't know. If I had like a bunch of camels, I wouldn't want to give them all away, all right? Because I kind of like camels, I guess. But he didn't care. He said, you know what? God has given me these things, and I'm going to bless others with it. And so that's exactly what he did. We read in verse 5 that he gave all that he had to Isaac, his son. Verse 6, he gave gifts to the sons of the concubines. Here's the thing. When God gives us something, God's gifts are best when they're given away. Think about that. God's gifts are best when they're given away. Now, that can mean a lot of things in our lives. Maybe you're gifted in a certain area. Maybe you're very talented. That talent is no good unless you give it away. Now, that doesn't mean you pass your talent off to somebody else, but you do something with it. You use it. When God gives you something, bless somebody else. God's gifts are best when they're given away. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Now that's interesting, because when you look at the original language, the Greek text, the word that we get our English word that says cheerful, in Greek, it's the word hilaros, okay? Now, can you guys guess what English word we got from that? Hilarious, okay? So literally, we could say, for God loves a hilarious giver. Now, that doesn't mean you have to, like, tell jokes and laugh as you're, like, turning your money in, okay? Oh, man, that's so funny. I'm giving my money away. That's not what he's talking about. But what he's talking about is being cheerful, not doing it because you're forced to or because you feel you have to, but God loves it when we love to give, when we love to bless others. And that's exactly who Abraham is. He blesses others, and that's why he stood out as evidence of God's goodness. Number three, Abraham stood out as a life lived by God's guidance. Now, as I mentioned, I was the cowardly lion at Broomball last night, and that was fun. But I got to tell you, it was a little hard to play broomball dressed up as a lion, okay? First of all, I had a tail that I'm not used to that was wagging all over the place and people kept pulling. And I also had this huge mane that was like hair everywhere covering all the way around my face, and it made it really hard to see. And every once in a while, people would yell, "Kevin, Kevin, get the ball!" And I'd be like, "Where? Where? I can't see anything, you know?" And the ball's like running into my ankle. Small children are crashing off of me, you know? And I don't even see them, right? Because I can't really control what's happening here. As Jen mentioned, there was one time I kicked the ball, and it wasn't even after I got done kicking. I was just standing there, and I lost my balance and fell down. It was not. And the thing is, when you're 6'5", you have a really long way to fall, you know? And so I fell and got back up and cried a little bit, and I was okay after that because I'm the cowardly lion. I had to cry. So, and my wife, being the loving, sensitive woman that she is, couldn't stop laughing at me. So wearing that costume, I'm obviously hurt by that. Wearing that costume, I had to constantly rely on my team members. Because I had to always trust that they were going to tell me where the ball was at, because I couldn't always see real well. And I had to rely on them. "Kevin, Kevin, get the ball, get the ball." And so I'd run in that general direction and kick it. And for the most part, I did all right. But I had to rely on them. If I was playing the game by myself, it wouldn't have been, number one, very fun. And also, I wouldn't have done too well. Because it would have been very hard for me not having to rely or not being able to rely on somebody else. Same thing with God. Sometimes, all the time, our vision is impaired by lots of different things in our lives. And it's hard to look around. In fact, it's impossible for us to see all of the things that are happening in our lives and why, and why it's all happening, and be able to trust the Lord in the middle of it. And so the great thing is that God is there, and he can see the whole playing field of life. And so when he tells you to do something, there's a good reason for it. He knows. He sees the beginning and the end. And we can and we should trust him. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Abraham defined what it looked like to walk by faith. He left everything behind to follow God. And because of that, God blessed him. God made an interesting promise. You guys may remember back in Genesis 15, verse 15. He says, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." Okay, keep that verse in your mind and follow along in verse 8 with me. "Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Interesting. Following God's way, following God's plan and his guidance is the only way to truly live. Maybe you feel like you're doing pretty good in your life. You have no need for a savior at this point in your life. Everything's going fine. Maybe you make good grades. You have lots of friends. You get along with your parents. Those are all great things. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, your life is leading nowhere. Your life is leading to death. And that's a scary place to be. But that's the truth. That's what's really happening. So, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And a lot of people think they are headed in the right direction with their lives, when really what they need is to turn around and follow Jesus Christ and head in the correct direction. So Abraham was buried with his wife, Sarah, in this cave that we read about. And because of his faithfulness, God continues to bless other people even after he's dead. Look again at verse 11. "And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac." So after Abraham died, God wasn't up in heaven like, "Oh man, I had so many blessings to give out. What am I going to do now? Abraham's not around." God wasn't worried. God just continued to bless the people that Abraham was closest to. He blessed Isaac. He blessed his family. And a great sign of a life lived by God's guidance is that things continue to work and grow even after that person is gone. The blessings continue. God wants to use us. But when we're gone, he's got somebody else. And that's why you need to be careful with your life. Because God is ready to use you. But if at any point you say, "You know what? Whatever. I don't want to do that." He'll use somebody who's ready, who's willing. And you'll miss that opportunity. Now, not that he won't forgive, but take every opportunity you can to be used by him. So let me ask you this. Do you stand out in a generation that blends in? Because our society is obsessed with blending in. In fact, speaking of that, I found online these two guys, they call themselves the Blenders, all right? They go into society on the street and they take pictures blending in, all right? So they like put on glasses and funny teeth and they blend in to their surroundings. Actually, pretty nicely. I like that one. On the scooter, very nice. On the bus, bench or whatever. That one's scary. But those guys love to just blend into society. And they'll put on masks. They'll put on different glasses. They'll sit differently. They'll walk differently to make sure they look just like their surroundings, just like the people around them. And our society is obsessed with doing that. Some of us, even in this room, are obsessed with trying to fit in. Let me just tell you, instead of trying to fit in, be different. Stand out. Make a difference. Have an impact on people's lives. Maybe tonight you realize, you know, I'm not where I should be with God. I should be allowing him to use my life. Tonight, you can turn that around. At the end of the service, we'll have leaders up here that would love to pray for you and to help you in that direction. Maybe you know of somebody, I guarantee every one of us, in fact, raise your hand if you know of somebody who does not know Jesus Christ. If you know of somebody, if you see that person or whatever, we all do. We all have people around us, whether it's at home or at school or at the grocery store, you know of somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You can have an impact on that person's life. Are you standing out? At the end of your life, like we read about Abraham here, at the end of your life, will people be able to look back and say, "Man, he was such a great example in this area. oh man, what a great woman after God's heart. She loved to serve the Lord. Could God look down on your life right now and say, man, I am so proud of him. I am so proud of her and the way you're living your life. If not, you need to change that. And tonight's your chance to do that. So as I mentioned, that verse in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Maybe life's okay for you right now, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's not going to end up okay. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. So let's close with prayer, and then we're going to open it up for some questions right after that. God, thank you that you are so in touch with everything that we need in life. And you love us so much, and you want to guide us. Lord, I pray that you would really use us and just open our hearts and our minds and our vision for the future of where you want us to go, Lord. We put these things in your hands and pray, God, that this generation in this room tonight would be a generation that stands out in the middle of a world that loves to just blend in. God, help us to stand out and set an example for the people around us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So let's take some questions. Maybe a question about tonight. Maybe a question about something else we've learned in Genesis. What do you got? Jason, start us off. And that's in our text tonight. You guys can keep your Bibles open so we can flip to wherever it is. Genesis 25:6 says that Abraham took the sons of the concubines and sent them to the east. It says that he sent them eastward away from from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. I'm assuming that there, because the thing is, the inheritance at this point was a big deal. And so when somebody died, even today, when somebody dies, people fight over their stuff. You know how that works? And so Abraham knew that Isaac was the promised son. He was the one that was supposed to inherit all these things. And it could have been, and it doesn't really give us a reason, but it could have been that he sensed that these six other guys that he had just, that his wife has just had in the last couple years, could have posed a threat to his promised inheritance. So he gave him the inheritance, and he said, hey guys, here's some more gifts. Why don't you guys head to the east? And what's really cool about that is that this started the region, or that's the east is the area known as Arabia. And so that started another branch of Abraham's descendants elsewhere in the world. So he started branching out in the world before he even died. So good question. What else? Yeah, Sean. How old were Isaac and Rebekah when they were married? I believe Isaac was around 40. And I'd have to check into Rebecca. I don't know quite for sure, but I would guess a little younger than that, probably. Bryn.
Way back, were angels, God was always beginning and end, were angels always with God, or did he create when he created the earth?
Angels are not eternal, which basically means God's eternal. He's always been, always will be, but angels were created. So we don't exactly know which, you could read back through the account in Genesis 1 and probably be able to pinpoint it pretty good as to which day they were created. So they were created. They weren't always, always around like God had been. Does that answer your question? Cool. Yeah. What's a concubine? Good question. It's not like a porcupine, okay? They don't have like quills and they're not scary, at least that I know. Concubine is basically, in this time, it's basically, I guess you could define it as a secondary wife, okay? So people like Abraham even, he was married to Sarah. She was the one that he poured his devotion into. But then he took Hagar as his concubine. And so basically the point of their relationship was to continue the family and to have kids. And there wasn't really, unfortunately, a lot of devotion there. The main thing was just having kids. And that's where Keturah came in at the end. She was kind of his companion, helped continue the family. But there wasn't really, I guess you could say, the same level of involvement and commitment as he would have had to Sarah. Thankfully, we don't do that anymore because I don't think that's the smartest way to do things. What else you got, Philly?
If you already stand out in some sort of way, how do you use it?
Good question. If you already stand out in some sort of way, how do you use it? There's a lot of different ways you could stand out. Maybe it's the way you look. Maybe it's the things that you're good at. There's a lot of things, and what I would encourage you to do is just talk to God and say, God, I really want to stand out in my generation, but I don't know how I'm supposed to do that and use it for you. You know, maybe you're really good at playing guitar. Maybe you're really good at drawing. Maybe you're whatever it is. I remember when I was in high school, I loved to do art. And so I took an art class, and every time I got a chance, I did something that portrayed my faith. I remember we were doing screen printing, and one of the things that I screen printed was a picture of Jesus with the crown of thorns. And it was really cool because I did it in a way that I laid it out in the shape of the cross. And I was the first one done, and so she hung mine up on the wall, and it was this huge display of Jesus on the cross. That was the first thing you saw when you walked into the art room. And it was so cool, and it was a way that I could use a talent that kind of made me stand out a little bit to glorify God. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon.
How come Abraham used his oldest?
How come Abraham used his oldest? Oh, back in last chapter? Chapter 24, he chose his oldest servant, probably because, remember like we talked about, that relationships deserve respect. And so the thing is, this servant, probably the guy by the name of Eliezer, was probably the most trusted servant that he had in his household. And he knew how important it was for whoever this guy was to pick a godly person. And so he didn't want to just choose any servant. Because at this point, he could have had 300 servants. He could have had thousands of servants at this point. And so he chose his oldest and probably his most trusted servant to go and to do this, because this wasn't just any job. This is a really important one. How come people back there were like so dang old? Okay, good question. That's how long they lived. And then shortly after the Tower of Babel, after the flood started declining, there's not really, let me try to find the verse here. There's not really like an event or something that we can track it to. But in the middle of, chapter 10 of Genesis, verse 25, if you want to look at the verse, says this. It's going through a whole list of people that have been born. And it says, to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And then from that point on, everybody dies at a much younger age. And it says, in his days the earth was divided. Now, we don't exactly know what that means. Maybe there was a big, maybe the continents drifted apart. Whatever it may have been after the flood, whatever it may have caused, they started dying off earlier. And I don't exactly know what the reason is, but we just know that in the beginning, man, some of them lived, Methuselah lived 969 years. It's a really long life. But by this point, Abraham dies at 175, which was, for his day, pretty old. So, any other questions? Yeah. Why they went with him or why they didn't go? Okay.
Why other people, like, went with him?
Okay. Genesis 22 is what she's talking about, and it's when Abraham, the question is, when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, his son, why did other people go with him? And you can read about that. I'm trying to see here. Oh, it says in verse 3 of chapter 22, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Is that what you're referring to? Okay, so they went with him. Don't exactly know why. Part of it could have been maybe to carry some supplies, maybe for protection, because, he was starting to get a little older. A lot of different reasons. I don't exactly know why they went with him. Could have been that they were just good friends, and he wanted them to be a part of this in his life. I've never really looked into it, but that's definitely something to check into further. Good question. Gabe? How did Abraham communicate with God? Simple, through prayer. He talked to him. In fact, he had such a close relationship with God. You remember back in chapter 18, God appeared in the form of a man to him. you know, and he was able to talk face to face with him. So there were a lot of different ways that he did it, but sometimes he built an altar and he called out to God. Sometimes he just got down on his knees and prayed. Other times he got to talk to God face to face in the form of a man. Pretty cool. Okay, we'll take like two more questions from somebody I haven't heard from yet. Yeah. Okay, so you're asking if God knows our whole life, he knows when we're going to make a mistake. Is that what you're getting at? Okay, so exactly, God does know that. And the thing is that as much as God knows, that doesn't mean that he's making us do that. You know what I mean? So the thing to remember is that God knows all of the things that are going to happen in our lives. He knows the good things we're going to do. He knows the bad things we're going to do. And because of that, that makes him God. Because if he didn't know all of that, he could be surprised. And I don't want God to be surprised, you know, by something that I do. God knows it all. And so God knows the beginning, the end. He knows when you're going to do something good. He knows when you're going to make a mistake. But it's up to you. You're responsible for your decisions. Does that answer it? Okay. Last question. Anybody got one? One more? Dylan. Well, I don't think that it's necessarily that he wants it to happen, okay? So Dylan asks, God knows everything. How come when a family member dies, he wants that to happen? That doesn't mean necessarily that he wants it to happen. He just knows it's going to happen, okay? But interesting, and I can't remember the verse off the top of my head, but there's a verse that says the death of his saints is precious to the Lord. Because at that point, when one of his followers dies, he gets to spend the rest of his time, you know, eternity with that person. And so it's not necessarily that he wants them to die, but sometimes he uses the death of a family member. In fact, great way to close it, Genesis 25. You remember how Ishmael and Isaac, his two sons, were kind of like at war and they didn't get along? Well, it's interesting because when Abraham dies, it says that Ishmael and Isaac buried him. So, great question, because sometimes God even uses a tragic death in the family or something like that to bring people back together, to reconcile relationships. So, great question. Let's just pray one more time and then you guys can go. God, thank you so much that you are in control and that you love us so much and you have such a big plan for us, God. So, be with us tonight, Lord, and help each student in this room to understand what it is in their lives that you want to use them for. Maybe it's a talent, maybe it's whatever it is, a gifting that you've given them, Lord. Help them to step up and to be bold and to share their faith through that thing, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. There will be leaders up here.